the book you're going to be publishing shortly is going to contain visual work. Could you describe something about the shape that you'd like it to have and how that has been influenced by photographs and by other visual schemata?
Well, a whole movement, a contemporary movement toward the computer and all kinds of revolutions in media has raised the whole question about the future of the book, the nature of the book, physically, as well as the nature of the text that those books contained. And it's no longer obvious that the text is something that sort of floats serenely through the pages without being touched. A text is more like in a sewer or in a contaminated area. And what I'd like to do is to make those contaminants a part of the text. I remember, and I think everybody does, who grew up reading intently, that the very feel of pages. I remember these early cheap paperbacks where you could see the type on the next coming page, the feel of the flimsiness or the feel of the solidity and importance, the way books were decorated and so on. Now I think this will be in the power of the single author. On computers and in many other ways, you can design the book almost from the writer to the printer. This also, I think, has a great deal of impact on the publishing world, because if you can go from making your book physically to the printer, you can, and then you need distribution. You don't need a lot of the present paraphernalia. It's going to make for lots of experiments, many of them, most of them terrible, of course.
Well, your participation in the Lannan Foundation's readings, are you going to have anything visual? Are there going to be slides? Are you going to be turning into a performance artist? Or what are you going to do dramatically and visually in this evening that's coming up this coming Tuesday at the Pacific Design Center?
I'm going to stick to straight reading. Now, I have in the past done short stories accompanied by a slide show, in effect, and lots of lectures with series of slides passing through as a soundtrack might. But for this, I'm going to read material I've just finished, and it's parts of the novel which are straight text. I am anxious, after so many years, it's been over 25 years I've been working on this thing, I am anxious to get the text completed. Then there'll be time to finish out the fine points of the design.
Tell me something about books and you know, I'm thinking about Orson Welles. You know, he worked on a film the last, I think it was 20 or 25 years of his life, and it was never complete. I think it's called The Other Side of the Wind. And I wonder how much this work of yours, do you identify with any other artists who might have worked on long statements for years and years and years? And what has this done to you?
Well, I do. The one I identify most closely in this respect is Malcolm Lowry in Under the Volcano, which took many, many years. It's a period in which Lowry learned to write. And you can see the problem of a protracted effort in Lowry, because the book is geological layers of the early parts when he was still a neophyte and somewhat clumsy. And then he tried to rewrite every these early parts up to the later stages. You can never hide it. So if I take this long to write a book, my principal problem is that as a person and a writer, I want to change, I want to develop, I want to be better. But as writing this book, I have to be the same author throughout. So it has meant one of the reasons it's taken so long is constant looping back, rewriting, getting the whole book
but
up to
contemporary. But your narrator in the book, is this person also writing over this period of time?
Yes, he's writing this book.
He's writing this book, right.
He's written a history.
Yes.
Of Nazi Germany, and he somehow stops just about the time he's ready to write his preface. Instead of writing the preface, he starts to write these pages that I'm writing for him. These pages are personal. these pages. He doesn't want his wife to see. He hides the pages of the book I'm writing for him between the pages of the completed manuscript called Guilt and Innocence in Hitler's Germany.
Do we know much about that other manuscript?
We get one paragraph of the first page and one paragraph from the last page.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then hints about the subject matter. He is, I think, overly sympathetic with this Nazi.
Again, your models for this kind of interlinear, Borges. Who are some other writers who write between the pages of imaginary manuscripts?
Well, that's Borges would be, of course, now natural. By this book I started so long ago, this was one of the key notions of it from the beginning, that I hadn't really been influenced by Borges, but at that time, but. The kinds of people that worked in this world, it'd be Joyce and be Gertrude Stein, from whom I've learned the most. Uh-huh. And then in the contemporary world, of course, writers like Barth and Walter Abish and Bob Coover and so on, who have done a lot of experimental work that I watch very closely.